Zamora sets now the pitch. Breaking ball in there. Strike three. Call. Put it in the books. The New York Mets have won the second Major League Baseball Little League Classic. And evidently, because they are going to shake hands, now the Phillies are going to yell 2-4-6-8. Who do we appreciate? Mets. Mets. Yay, Mets. Or maybe not.
Yeah, definitely not. Welcome in. This is the Fanatic at 5. I am Jamie Lynch and with Eitan Shander today. Anthony Gargano and Bob Cooney are off for the week, so Eitan and Trey are going to be quarterbacking, and that's Trey Thomas. For those of you who wasn't sure who I was saying there, Trey Thomas and Eitan coming up at 6. Eitan's in with me for a little bit before he gets out there prepping with Trey. Eitan, the Phillies had an inexcusable loss last night. The Rockies swept the Braves in 4 games, giving you the golden opportunity to take advantage of a situation. Look, Saturday night, you lose to a guy in Jacob deGrom that's probably your Cy Young Award winner this year. If he's not your Cy Young, he's second to Scherzer. Nola probably finds himself third in that. So that one you chalk up to, you know, as Mr. Positivity Gabe Kapler always says, sometimes you got to tip your cap to the other team. Saturday was that. Last night was disgusting.
Yeah, you can't lose to Fargus. The bizarre, Fargus to Bizarro Newman out there. I mean, that was the golden opportunity away from home, mind you. And we can get into the Little League World Series in its own right. But away from home, losing a game like that was beyond frustrating. And again, the offense remained silent, minus that one Carlos Santana home run. And playoff Pivetta blows up like a stick of dynamite. And it's just difficult for this team, for whatever reason, to capitalize on ground gained, at least the opportunity. And you're right, inexcusable. This was overall, granted that they have one exceptional pitcher, but two really good pitchers in this series going, for them to lose 3 out of 5 to the Mets?
It's if they miss the playoffs, you're going to look back on this Sunday night Williamsport game and just go, why? Why? Jason Vargas has a 7.67 ERA.
Yeah, it's disgraceful for this team to go, and some people will say, well, it's the inconsistent offense rearing its ugly head once more, and we've seen this since the start of the season, and nobody should be shocked. Well, at the same time, you do have to counter that with how successful this team has been. It's not like they're a game above 500 and their division sucks.
They
are still there.
You know, which is crazy. They have been resilient this year in times where, you know, you expect the slide or the slip to come. They kind of bounce back usually. But last night, I mean, you can't get shut out by a guy with 47 strikeouts on the year, a 1.7 whip, and a 7.6 ERA. That can't happen in a game that would have catapulted you back into first place. Just absolutely embarrassing.
I agree. And everybody on this team has a lot of thinking and a lot of soul searching right now, because this cannot be a collapse. If it comes down to the wire, they get edged out by a half a game. You look at this and you're frustrated. Maybe more people are disappointed to upset, but you chalk it up to an 06 and 07 type season. However, or more 06 season, right? However, if they lose by four or five games and this becomes part of a collapse,
I don't think it will be, but I hear what you're saying.
And I don't think either. And again, that's a testament to how well they've been playing. Listen, they've earned our frustration right now. I think that if this team was just lollygagging and it was just a matter of, well, we don't know what to expect and let's just see what happens on a nightly basis, then it would be more of a pause reaction.
Yeah.
But they've earned our frustration.
Yeah, absolutely. I still think it's going to come down to those final 10, 11 games of the year where you basically have 6 or 7 against the Braves and 3 against the Rockies. So I think it's all coming down to that. So I don't want to overreact to one game, but you had an opportunity to take back first place. And true playoff teams really pounce at those opportunities. They're heading down to the Nationals for 3 games, and then they have a 3 game series with the Blue Jays. But you know what I couldn't help thinking last night was, as Nick Pivetta struggled again, was, did they blow it not getting Cole Hamels back here?
That's an interesting question.
He's been pitching well for the Cubs.
He has.
It didn't cost them a ton. Basically, the big cost there was the inherited salary. So to me, I'm like, you know, Vince didn't have a good, VV didn't have a good start last time. Had been okay before that, but Pivetta has been the ultimate roller coaster this year. So, you know, I couldn't help but think, would have big game Cole look pretty good Sunday night in Williamsport?
Yeah, we probably
would have.
We haven't talked at all about I know they bring in the back end. They address the bullpen, but that's one area that we didn't talk about at all as far as whether or not the Phillies overlooked it.
Yeah.
Because we saw more consistency, to your point, out of Velasquez and Pivetta at the time.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it was enough to kind of bank on and say, all right, moving forward, they're good. They didn't need to bring in another starting arm.
But they also thought, you know, they weren't good enough that they pushed in for playoff moves with Boer and the Struble. In some of the moves they made, and Ramos, obviously. So they thought they were good enough to make the push. It's just they thought they had enough pitching to get by, I guess. And I hope that one doesn't bite them, because I think most people believed Cole was going to get kind of rejuvenated in a new setting. And
especially this one, right?
Yeah, especially this one.
Yeah, it's a fair question to raise.
Yeah.
Did you watch any of that beforehand? I can't.
I went to bed in like this sixth inning.
No, not the game itself. I mean, I can't get behind the Little League World Series.
I've been watching.
Really?
A little bit, yeah.
Scouting the next Sir Anthony Dominguez?
I mean, the one positive from last night, not that there really was any on the field itself, but the Williamsport atmosphere, the guys, you know, getting off the plane, touring around with kids. You know, did you hear Big Al, the kid that went viral from the Little League World Series? It was basically his walk-up was, you know, he's this chubby-cheeked, little overweight
kid.
Yeah,
I saw him.
And he goes, "Hi, my name's Big Al, and I like to hit diggers." Basically, it was what he did. And it went viral. So before the game, Sam, if you could cue up the Reese with Big Al.
Oh,
you know what
geez.
I mean? Like the players, there was 2,500 people only in the stadium.
They need to pay Big Al. are they paying these kids?
Not yet. But Big Al was on the field batting practice. He got invited to Mets batting practice by Jose Bautista. You know, Rhys Hoskins is hanging out with him in the stands before the game. Here's a little thing that Rhys tweeted out. And if you don't love this kind of stuff, you're probably a sociopath.
I'm out.
You're a sociopath. Here's Rhys with Big Al.
We're at Lomini Stadium. And look who I ran into.
I'm Big Al.
Big Al. And one thing that we really both love to do
is hit dingers.
Yeah. Come on. You don't like that?
Baseball is so desperate, they need to exploit young kids now.
You're a sociopath.
Such an exploit. Pay Big Al. How much money did Big Al make last night? ESPN took home millions. How much did Big Al take home?
No, everything was free last night. Big Al got a free experience yesterday.
Yeah, right. A free. Just like those poor kids in Alabama are getting a free education, right?
Hey, man.
Just like Tua is getting a free education.
Yeah, he is. ESPN didn't know Big Al was just going to be a viral hit. You know what I mean?
Every year there's a viral hit out there. What's your question? I want to put it up on the poll here. I have the Sixers in Rucker Park.
Yeah,
the Phillies in Little League World Series.
I just kind of got me thinking, like, which of the four major sports would you most want to see your professional teams play in its, like, you know, core field? Like, would you want to see Flyers, let's say Rangers, on a frozen pond somewhere? You know, 2,500 people only. Would you want to see a Rucker Park Sixers Knicks game with 2,500 people in attendance? Would you want to see an Eagles Cowboys game in some kind of like Dust Bowl, you know, Pop Warner Field somewhere? Or would you want to see like Phillies Williamsport, you know, pick your opponent? But it kind of just got me thinking, like, which of the four would be the coolest? And I don't really have a concrete answer. Part of me thinks the hockey would be really, really cool.
Wait, what's the football one?
Like a Dust Bowl, you know, Eagles Cowboys on like a 2,500 attendee, like Dust Bowl field. You know what I mean? Like an old Pop Warner field.
Okay.
With like hardly any good lines on the field. You know what I mean? The end zone's a little chewed up. And I don't really know. All four would be incredible. Do you have a gut answer? You're probably Rucker Park, right?
Yeah, I think. Well, just being there and seeing it and knowing how crazy it gets and electric it gets.
Yeah.
You see a former player or a current player even.
Energy-wise, that would probably be the biggest.
Yeah, I think just seeing a hockey team play in a frozen pond.
That would be really cool,
right?
Wouldn't it? Like in the mountains of Canada.
Yeah, that would be insane. All right, I'd put it up there on the Fanatic.
It's a good question because all four, like, I'm not, hockey's my fourth overall, but for some reason, the frozen pond aspect of it probably moves it up a little bit in my tier.
Well, it's the live element of it. I was having this conversation last night about the game and why it doesn't transfer over to the radio, but then when you actually go out and watch hockey games,
it's great.
The electricity of it, too. So that's why I think, honestly, if I had to guess right now...
What do you think wins?
I vote Sixers, but I think, honestly, the Flyers frozen... So I've labeled it just our team, Sixers, Phillies, Flyers, Eagles, and I've associated with Sixers, Rucker Park, Phillies, Little League World Series, Flyers, Frozen Pond, Eagles, Old High School Field. I think the Flyers win.
Yeah, I think the frozen pond would be cool.
Yeah,
Williamsport was very cool though last night.
I'm out. I don't need to see this crap.
It's cool for the kids.
It's an exploitation of it. We'll talk more at 6 a.m.
You're a sociopath.
No, I don't think that I can. First off, I don't get anything from it. Like, the sport itself is dying, and now I need to look at kids play the game.
I'm breaking in a new baseball glove on the couch last night. I got the kids playing in Williamsport.
Weird, man. You're like Buscemi in Billy Madison.
I got that new glove, and I kind of felt.
Do you really have a new glove? Is that what you're doing? Yeah.
And I sit there and I pound it on the couch, like, with the ball in the mitt. And my wife...
Break it in.
Yeah, my wife looks at me like I'm a psycho. I literally have it tied up in rubber bands right now and all oiled up. And I was shocked how much joy I got from this new glove.
All right, what's more annoying on the couch? That, pounding a baseball into your mitt?
It's got to be so
annoying. Or having a text message with the volume on?
Text message with the volume on, which my wife does all the time, so I don't feel bad. And I'll have to turn to her and go, are you serious right now?
Yeah.
Put that on silent.
That is a tough
one. What's wrong with you?
Tough
anyway, one. Big week down at the NovaCare. You'll get out of here in a second to talk with Trey. I'm excited to have Trey in this week because, you know, the roster is taking shape. It's winding down.
Mm-hmm.
I would think most of the 53 is already determined. I would probably guess like 50 or 51 is already determined.
Probably.
Maybe two spots are up for grabs come Thursday night. I think Shelton Gibson locked up his spot last week. The injury list is long, but the big news down at NovaCare is Carson Wentz.
You feel any better?
Not really.
Why?
Because he's still ahead of schedule. And they went out on the field yesterday, and it was slick, and it was raining, and I'm just going, oh, man.
I'm
going
to need you to define it. Like 6:05, once we kind of get settled and take off, and once we hit that altitude of the show in which you can turn your phone back on and they bring the drink carts up and down, I'm going to need you to explain why being ahead of schedule is a bad thing in your brain.
It's not a bad thing. I'm just a worrywart, all right?
Yeah, you've been reading too much Dr. Chow, Philosophy by Chow.
Hey, look, man, if doctors and surgeons say 10 months is full regrowth of new ligament to bone and that's what's needed, I don't, unless he's Logan's, Wolverine out there regenerating at a rapid rate, I'm going to take the 10 month until somebody tells me differently.
Do we know if his doctor has said that?
No, we don't.
Okay.
I'd love to know.
Hey, real quick, does it shock you that this poll has been up for, we just got our first vote, 25 in. We just got our first vote for the Phillies. Now it's early.
So Williamsport, you think comes last?
I think they stay last. I think the jig is up out there and people understand that it's a crap sell.
Yeah, get out of here.
Come on, if the Phillies weren't playing in that.
Probably lose that one.
Well, here's the thing, too. They took away a home game from a division rival in a pennant race.
I know.
And how are people not upset about that? See, that's what I want to dive deeper into at six, is just how we were robbed.
And the other thing I want to dive into with you and Trey coming up at six. And you'll go have to talk to him about this. I want to play this Aqib Talib audio for you before you leave. Let me read the Richard Sherman tweet, and then the counter to that is kind of Aqib Talib a little bit here. So Richard Sherman tweeted this yesterday, and I think this will be a big theme with you and Trey today. Obviously having the ex-player mentality, I'm curious where Trey is on this. You know, this isn't a rule that's really going to apply to the trenches a ton. It's more your linebackers, safeties, the guys that are cleaning up. And open field tackling. So we'll see. Here's what Richard Sherman says. To all those people, including those who made the rule, I want a video of you running full speed and being led by anything but your head while also attempting to bring down a moving target. You will soon realize it's impossible. There is no make adjustment to the way you tackle. Even in a perfect form tackle, the body is led by the head. The rule is idiotic and should be dismissed immediately. Watch rugby players tackle. They are still leading with their head. We will be flag football soon. Now, it's interesting because Richard Sherman comes from Pete Carroll and the Seahawks, obviously. It's his first year in San Francisco. But Pete Carroll has kind of been leading a little bit of a mini revolution in tackling. They do something called hawk tackling out there.
Right.
Where basically it is like a rugby hit low, turn, twist, and pull down type of thing. So if anybody has been on the forefront of this, it's Richard Sherman. You know, they've tried to eliminate out there in Seattle exactly what the league is. So it's interesting to me that, he came out this adamant against it. And then I want to play.
Real quick, before we play that, I think they're seeing the same stuff we are. They saw that play Saturday night that was called against the Vikings.
Absolutely.
And the Jaguars.
That was pathetic.
That was... I don't even know what to say to that. I mean, and again, I understand it's preseason, and you can look down the line and say, okay, well, maybe they take that out, but that's instinct.
Yeah, yeah, that's bad.
Right, we're not talking about a tic-tac call that was reviewed. That's instinct in officials is to take the essence of the game out.
All right, well, let me play this sound for you, and then you get out of here with Trey. Here's Aqib Talib.
Is it Post Malone?
Here's Aqib Talib, kind of the counterpoint of what Sherman is saying.
I was just trying to keep the game safe. I'm trying to... keep guys healthy, and I think it's good for the game. We just gotta adjust.
Is that a challenge adjusting to how you tackle or how you approach?
For some guys, it's definitely gonna be a challenge for some guys. But me personally, I'm a leg tackler, so nothing changed for me.
But does any of that stuff with in terms of lowering the head and where your head has to be? How do you fix what you guys have? You know, sometimes it's just instinct.
Oh, guys just gotta adjust, man. They're trying to have guys healthy when they retire, so, it's good for the tackler, it's good for the offensive guy, so, it's part of the game. We adjusted to a lot of things so far. It's just another thing that we have to adjust to.
So, you heard the Richard Sherman tweet, and then you hear Aqib Talib, he does say, he's a leg tackler and a low tackler and all of that, so he's coming at it, I guess, a bit differently. But, one is make major change, get rid of this rule now. The other is no big deal. They're doing this for the safety and health of the players, and we just got to adjust. So, I would imagine it comes out. A lot of players are going to be commenting on it probably in the next couple weeks. I think the Vikings play from Saturday where it was just a straight-up sack of the quarterback really kind of opened some people's eyes to it because it wasn't even – there was nothing else that could have been done. You can't take your head out of tackling to the point the league wants to. I would consider the league has to consider, look, they have a contract deal with whoever it is, Rydell or whoever the company is. They have to have an open bidding war for the best helmet. And there has to be new technology. You can't take the head out of tackling. If anything, you have to have an open competition to come up with the new helmet that takes things to the next level. That's my opinion on it. You have to, you have this business contract with whoever the helmet provider of the league is, and I don't think it's, it's almost like a monopoly a little bit, and, these helmet companies are out there trying to be the next one that comes up with the solution, and who knows how much the league is actually listening, but that's my two cents on that subject. But it is a big week as Carson Wentz returns to 11-on-11s down at NovaCare. It looks like him and Nick Foles are going to split about 50% of the snaps each as Carson is kind of eased back into it a little bit. And Sam, if you can cue up Doug P just talking about how good it is to see Carson Wentz out on the field back at 11-on-11s.
It's big to begin to evaluate him and see where he's at and get him back in there with the guys.
Yeah, so that's that. I think a lot of this week is going to be how Carson, responds, looks, how the knee feels the next morning type of thing. And then the next stage before, the season opener, I would imagine, is getting cleared for contact. That doesn't mean he'll be playing in the preseason. I think it's just the next step in the development here of the knee. And Doug P. also talked about, there's a lot of guys on this team that are injured. So Doug also talked about two of them, two possible, Hall of Famers in Jason Peters and Darren Sproles. And does he need to see them out there at all in preseason? And here's Doug, courtesy of NBC Sports Philadelphia.
Overall, they're doing great. They're right on track, and both of them are healthy and doing a nice job. I don't necessarily need to see these two guys, you know. These two guys have played a ton of games, you know, you know, it's something, you know, Sproles has really never, since I've been here, hasn't really played in a preseason game at all, you know, and, you know, Jason's very limited, usually through camp, try to get him, you know, to the regular season and then obviously keep him healthy for 16 games. So I'm not in any hurry to see these two guys right away.
Yeah, a.k.a. they're Hall of Fame level talents. We know exactly what they can do and they're fine. So that's that. Brandon Graham's another guy that commented yesterday after practice. His goal is still September 6th, but he, you know, does appear to be a little behind schedule there. So a little bit, you know, and Alshon, you still haven't heard from. Aguilar has the hockey lower body injury. Alshon, I'd be surprised if he plays opening week at this point, but we'll see. Big V is a guy that was under the microscope last week after his performance in New England. And I know Trey and Eitan are going to talk about this one later as well. Big V was embarrassed by what he put out on the field on Thursday.
It was a wake-up call. I shouldn't take everything every day like an easy day. You got to be ready mentally.
Does this week's game mean more to you? Just
every week means more, but I just got to show it.
He was embarrassed. He's got to show it. Yeah, I'd like you to see it. I'd like to see it again, too, because Big V was monumental to the success of the Super Bowl run last year. And I guess being out there with the second unit, we'll have to ask Trey about that later, how much that really affects you when you're not playing next to the guard and center that you normally do, or at least did last year. Some quick NFL news around the horn real quick. Adrian Peterson, the phenomenal Hall of Fame running back, is slated to visit the Washington Redskins. He basically hasn't played football for 2 years, so it's curious to see how much he has left in the tank. But with the Samaje Perine injury down there and the Darius Geis injury, too, they've had two guys go down, I believe, with both ACLs are done for the year. So they're kicking tires on running backs all around the league. So we'll see what comes from that. I would imagine they want to move quicker than not. So if AP's got anything left, we could be seeing him in burgundy and gold this year. The Cowboys appear to dodge a bullet with a Zach Martin. He kind of got low blocked and rolled on his knee. They feared the worst at first, but Jerry Jones says that, you know, the initial tests look good. They're going to get an MRI done, but they think they dodged a bullet there. Josh Gordon returned to Browns camp over the weekend on Saturday. He was working out some mental health and child payment court issues there. Somebody had the theory on Twitter that Josh Gordon wanted to avoid the majority of Hard Knocks, and that was the reason for this. And you know what? It's not a bad theory, but you know, it's just speculation at this point. George Ioka, the former Pro Bowl safety from the Bengals, was mysteriously cut over the weekend because apparently they have a rookie or second-year guy out there that they feel very confident in. So apparently the Cowboys could have interest in him. Joe Flacco, local kid, handled the Jalen Ramsey criticism great. He said, "Lots of other people have told me I suck before, too." 5 a.m. hour is brought to you by Car Gurus. Go to cargurus.com today to find great deals from top-rated dealers near you. That's CARGURUS.com. You're listening to The Fanatic at 5. I'm Jamie Lynch. Back on the other side, Fanatic Sports Times 524.
The Fanatic at 5 on 97.5 The Fanatic.
My number two does not look like a number two. I don't know what to call it. Is there a number three?
Table for four, please. Anything close to the restroom.
A middle seat with these stomach problems? That's my fear of flying.
Sound like you? If it does, you could be one of the many people with a digestive condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. Even if you don't know what EPI is, you might know the symptoms. Frequent diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain. If you have even just one of these symptoms, you could still have EPI. Because not everybody experiences EPI the same way, which is why it's so important to open up to your doctor about all your symptoms. And the good news is, EPI is manageable, so don't keep a lid on it. Go to identifyepi.com, complete the symptom checker, and use it to have a conversation with your doctor. Don't keep a lid on it. Visit identifyepi.com. Brought to you by AbbVie.
Buy Pacifica Hybrid, America's first and only hybrid minivan. It's so quiet I can finally hear myself think. I should totally adopt a puppy. Ugh, what are you talking about? I have too many nice shoes. I also have a 566-mile driving range. Chrysler really gave 110% making this bad boy. Oops, green light.
Introducing the 84 mpg Pacifica Hybrid. Chrysler Pacifica. Up your van game. Based on latest available competitive information. Range based on manufacturer estimates. EPA estimate with a fully charged battery and estimated miles per gallon of gasoline equivalent mpg. Actual mileage may vary. Chrysler is a registered trademark of SCA US LLC.
At Walgreens, we believe everyone counts, and that includes your everyday choices. Today, when you buy participating products at Walgreens, you support our partnership with the Me to We Foundation in their mission to deliver education, clean water, healthy food, and healthcare to children in need around the world. Stop by your local Walgreens to shop products that support Me to We, like Hershey's. Walgreens, trusted since 1901. Now with cards, select Hershey's party size bags are $9.99 each, valid July 29th through September 3rd.
O'Reilly. If your vehicle isn't stopping like it used to, head to O'Reilly Auto Parts and take advantage of the Do It Right rebate. Stop by and purchase a set of Brake Best Select brake pads and two Brake Best Select rotors, and you'll receive a $25 O'Reilly gift card by mail. Plus, enjoy quiet, safe, worry-free braking. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Knock some projects off your to-do list without having to do them yourself. Every day, over 8,000 homeowners turn to the Home Depot's home services to help install garage doors, HVAC units, windows, bath remodels, nearly any home improvement project. All done by licensed local pros backed by the Home Depot. It's the smartest way to get from to-do to done. Schedule an appointment today at homedepot.com/homeservices. The Home Depot. More saving. More doing. For license information, visit homedepot.com/license numbers.
Something big just dropped at McDonald's. In fact, it's so big we think it's worthy of a beat drop. The 2 for $5 mix and match deal at McDonald's, featuring an all-time greatest hits lineup. The Big Mac, Filet-O-Fish, 10-piece Chicken McNuggets, and the Classic Chicken Sandwich. Choose any two favorites for just $5. There you have it. The 2 for $5 mix and match deal at McDonald's has officially dropped. Participate in McDonald's. Limited time offer. Single item at regular price.
Capital One presents Congress finalizing the Louisiana purchase.
Napoleon will never go for our offer. It's too low.
He's too low.
You're a nincompoop.
Oh, Jefferson has something.
Gentlemen, I've just received word from my Capital One app. The Louisiana purchase is complete.
Instant purchase notifications from Capital One, so you won't miss a purchase. Technology this helpful could make history.
What's in your wallet?
Not available for debit cards. Capital One Bank USA N.A.
Grainger stands for safety, and they know what safety stands for. S, safety. A, all about safety. F, feeling good about safety. E, extreme safety. T, talking about safety. Y, you guessed it, safety. First aid kits, eyewash stations, fire protection, you name it. For over 90 years, they've been helping to keep facilities safe and people safer. When it comes to safety, Grainger's got your back. Call or click Grainger.com to see for yourself. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Stop by Lowe's to refresh your space with hot appliance deals for summer. Find the perfect suite for your kitchen or give Laundry Day a major upgrade. You'll get up to 30% off appliance special values on some of the best brands in the business. Plus free local delivery on major appliances $396 and up. Come see why Lowe's is the number one appliance retailer. All projects have a starting point. Start with Lowe's. Offer valid through 8/22. Exclusions apply. See store for details.
Fanatic Philly Sports Talk. Now 1 hour earlier with Eitan Shander and Jamie Lynch.
The Fanatic at 5.
Weekday mornings at 5 on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome in. Fanatic at 5. I am Jamie Lynch in with you now. Eitan and Trey Thomas are coming up at the top of the hour. And let me just say, what the Phillies did last night was absolutely inexcusable. Let me just cue up Bill Giles for this one. Took care of the Braves, 4-game sweep there. Couldn't have asked for anything more. A couple late blown games out of the Braves. The Rockies really stepped up for the Phillies, and the Phillies couldn't take advantage. You know, I said last week heading into this 5-game series, 3 was the lowest acceptable amount. Eitan and Anthony wanted 4 wins. Turns out they got 2. Saturday night, Jacob DeGrom might be your Cy Young Award winner this year, and he was just—he was filthy. He was phenomenal. The guy was throwing 98 miles an hour in the ninth inning. He was borderline unhittable. You know, it doesn't take much to be unhittable versus this Phillies team. Last night, they made Jason Vargas look like Jacob DeGrom all over again. And this is a guy with a 7.6 ERA. I can't say the word enough. Inexcusable. It really was. You had a chance to take back first place. You know, you're approaching late August. Late August in a pennant race. And you let a team that's frankly terrible. And they've gone all year struggling against the Mets. Rhys Hoskins actually talked about this. Sam, if you can cue up Rhys, he was on NBC Sports Philly last night after the game in Williamsport. And Jim Salisbury asked him, you know, what's up with the Mets this year and what's up with the struggles against them? And here's Rhys.
I think at the same time, though, we know that we haven't played as well as we can, and we're still a half game out of first place. So it's hard to be too frustrated. It could be worse. We could not be in striking distance. Frustrating, but I think at the same time, you can find some positive in that. So,
why do you think the Mets have been so tough on you guys this year?
I think there's something to be said for division rivals. For whatever reason, it seems like they get up to play us. That's what happens when you are at the top of that division.
Yeah, and, you know, I do believe the division thing is real. It's the same reason the Patriots always play the Dolphins tough every year. Or I should say that the other way. The Dolphins always play the Patriots tough every year. And, you know, even when, let's say, the Cowboys suck, the Eagles and Cowboys sometimes have tough games. You know, you know your division opponents better than you know most. And sometimes they get up for it. And there is something to that. But when you're facing Jason Vargas on Sunday Night Baseball, you know, in front of the nation, Jason Vargas had a 7.6 ERA. You know, the guy's got 47 strikeouts on the year. He's 13 years into the league. You know, that's a guy you pounce. And this team is just, oh, man, offensively.
Struggling.
It's really brutal to watch sometimes. And the crazy part is, there they are. You know, right there in the race still. You know, thank you, Rockies. But it's just, you don't want to look back a month from now and go, man, that Sunday night Williamsport game, Jason Vargas, really? So that's where they are. I couldn't help myself last night thinking about Cole Hamels. Nick Pivetta struggled again. He's basically been a roller coaster ride all year long. Some great starts. I think this one prior to this was great. And the Phillies offense shockingly couldn't get him the win. Tonight he was bad, or last night he was bad. And shockingly, the Phillies couldn't get him a win. You know, they can't overcome a great performance. They can't overcome a poor performance. That's just what they are at this point. They got to grind out all their wins. And I still think the last 11 games of the year are going to decide everything. You have a 3-game series with the Braves. I think another 4-game series with the Rockies, and then 3 games with the Braves, or, you know, whatever it is. If it's a 9-game series, I apologize. Or 9-game stretch there. But it's all coming down to those final games of the year, no matter what. I certainly don't think the Braves are going to take this and run with it. So we'll see. But I couldn't help but think about Cole Hamels last night and how much better he would have looked than Nick Pivetta. You know, Nick Pivetta could have been your long arm out of the bullpen for the stretch run. And, you know, Cole Hamels didn't cost you a lot. He's been pitching well in Chicago. So I couldn't help my mind wandering last night to old Cole. And, you know, maybe that's just me being weird. The Eagles, big week down at NovaCare this week. Carson Wentz has been given the green light and cleared for full 11-on-11 practice. And it's a big week down there. They're gonna ease him into it. Looks like him and Nick Foles are going to split about 50-50 of the first team reps in practice this week, which is smart because there's still a real possibility that Nick Foles could be your opening day starter. I think by the end of this week, we'll kind of have a good idea where Carson's knee is, how he's bouncing back. Is there any swelling? Is there any soreness? You know, look, if yesterday it was rainy because we live in a rainforest now, and if they're comfortable enough to put him out there on a slick field, then you got to think they're feeling pretty good about him, because if there was any kind of soreness or swelling or anything like that, they probably aren't putting him out there on a slick field where it's, you know, easy to slide or hyperextend something. So I would take that as a sign of encouragement, but it's certainly a real possibility that Nick Foles could also be your opening day starter. I think that picture will be a little clearer by the end of this week, in a full week, you know, under his belt in practice, all of that. And Lane Johnson, Sam, if you could cue Lane up, talked about Carson really wants to be out there, and it's killing him. And here's NBC Sports Philly giving you Lane.
He's looking great. He's ready to get out there and play. That's the only thing that's bothering him. He wants to go play right now, and they're holding back the reins. So I can't wait till he's back out there.
Yeah, and Brandon Graham basically said the same thing. He's like, I feel like Carson right now. You know, I'm sitting here watching, and I'm jonesing to get back out on that field. And he said his goal is September 6th. You know, I started worrying about him the other day because he still hasn't been out of practice. His timeline was a little pushed back. You know, you have Alshon Jeffrey, who hasn't been practicing yet. You have Nelson Agholor, who's probably not going to be a full participant for the rest of camp. And you hope he's ready by September 6th. You know, Timmy Jernigan, we still don't really know how his back is doing. You know, there's a lot of guys that are nicked up out there. And Nigel Bradham's going to be missing the opening game because of his suspension. So you're probably going to have Camus Grugier-Hill and Nathan Gary starting opening night as your linebackers. They'll mostly be in two linebacker sets, but occasionally they'll be in a three. So there's a you know, a little bit of injury bug with this team. So we'll see. Big week for Carson Wentz and the team for sure. We played for you earlier the Aqib Talib sound. And it's based off of Richard Sherman. Well, it's not based off of Richard Sherman. You know, Saturday night there was a sack in the Vikings game that they threw that new helmet rule penalty on, which was just egregious because it was perfect form tackle, head to the side, ran through the quarterback, and still penalized for it. So a lot of the league was talking about it, and it led Richard Sherman to this tweet about 18 hours ago. To all those people, including those who made the rule, I want a video of you running full speed and being led by anything but your head while also attempting to bring down a moving target. You will soon realize it's impossible. There is no make adjustment to the way you tackle. Even in a perfect form tackle, the body is led by the head. The rule is idiotic and should be dismissed immediately. When you watch rugby players tackle, they are still leading with their head. We will be flag football soon. The flag football analogy is probably getting a little beaten to death these days. But it does, you know, you immediately know what they're talking about when they make that analogy. But yes, he was pretty adamant about that. And kind of the counter to that, Aqib Talib was asked about the new helmet rule over the weekend. And he thinks the league is doing the proper thing. Here's Aqib.
We're just trying to keep the game safe, trying to, you know, keep guys healthy, and I think it's good for the game. We just got to adjust.
Is that a challenge, adjusting to, you know, how you tackle or how you approach?
For some guys, it's definitely going to be a challenge for some guys, but, you know, me personally, I'm a leg tackler, so nothing changed for me.
Does any of that stuff with in terms of lowering the head and where your head has to be, how do you fix, like, what you guys have, you know, sometimes it's just instinct?
Oh, you know, I mean, guys just got to adjust, man. They're trying to have guys healthy when they retire, you know, so, I mean, it's good for the tackler, it's good for the offensive guy. So, man, it's part of the game. We adjusted to a lot of things so far. It's just another thing that we have to adjust to.
Yeah, Aqib Talib's probably in the minority with his opinion on that. I think we're going to hear a lot from players over the next 2 weeks before the season starts about it. Some people seem to think they're just calling it this way in preseason to try and, you know, lessen it in the regular season. But anytime you have a sack like it in the Vikings game on Saturday, or that Rodney McLeod play from Thursday where, you know, he's fighting his life's instincts of running back goes low, you go lower with the helmet, and – you know, it's going to be tough for some people to adjust. On the counter to that was the Nigel Bradham one where he was penalized, and that's the type of thing you have to take out of the game, is leading with the head and almost spearing it like that. So you have two, one where you can't do anything about it, two where you have to clean it up. So hopefully the players are able to find the fine line there. But it's going to be no easy task, but that's for sure at all. Real quick, NFL news. Adrian Peterson scheduled to visit the Redskins today. The Cowboys appear to dodge a bullet with the apparent knee injury of Zach Martin. All appears well there. He's going to get an MRI today. Josh Gordon returned to Browns camp over the weekend. George Ioka, the former Pro Bowl safety from the Bengals, was cut by the Bengals. Allegedly, the Cowboys might have some interest there. Joe Flacco responded to Jalen Ramsey, and he said, lots of other people have told me I suck also. So he's not sweating that at all. It's just the question remains, is Joe Flacco elite? I'm Jamie Lynch. This is the Fanatic at 5. Fanatic Sports Times 541.
The Fanatic at 5 on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Do you remember me?
Sure. You and your husband were moving to another home.
You told me to wave my arm like I was scattering seed.
I remember.
And everything disappeared.
Yes, it did.
Just like that.
Just like that.
This is where we moved to.
It's beautiful.
Please. Look at all the junk they left behind.
Point to what you would like to disappear, ma'am.
You don't want me to wave my arm again?
Only if you want everything to disappear.
All I have to do is point?
All you have to do is point.
Well, let's start with that broken bird bath, that old swing set, and that nasty old yard furniture.
When you want junk to disappear, all you have to do is point.
And those broken tree limbs.
Call 1-800-GOT-JUNK.
And that pile of boxes.
Or visit 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com.
The Fanatic Steal of the Week saves you money with a ticket to the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series playoff race on October 7th, plus a trackside access pass at Dover International Speedway for only $52, a 50% discount to see NASCAR's biggest stars battle for 400 laps on the one-mile, high-banked concrete Monster Mile in the first race of the round of 12. And with trackside access, you'll explore the front stretch of the Monster Mile while navigating 9 degrees of banking plus more. Get this exclusive offer now at 975thefanatic.com. Offer ends Sunday or while supplies last.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
If your vehicle isn't stopping like it used to, head to O'Reilly Auto Parts and take advantage of the Do It Right rebate. Stop by and purchase a set of Brake Best Select brake pads and two Brake Best Select rotors, and you'll receive a $25 O'Reilly gift card by mail. Plus, enjoy quiet, safe, worry-free braking. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Knock some projects off your to-do list without having to do them yourself. Every day, over 8,000 homeowners turn to the Home Depot's home services to help install garage doors, HVAC units, windows, bath remodels, nearly any home improvement project. All done by licensed local pros backed by the Home Depot. It's the smartest way to get from to-do to done. Schedule an appointment today at homedepot.com/homeservices. The Home Depot. More saving. More doing. For license information, visit homedepot.com/license numbers.
There's something out there for you and me. And the American road is calling. So what's it gonna be? Hey, it's an amazing day. Traveling our own highway. No matter where it leads us, we can smile. Cause it's leaning in the mile.
Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
Something big just dropped at McDonald's. In fact, it's so big, we think it's worthy of a beat drop. The 2 for $5 mix and match deal at McDonald's, featuring an all-time greatest hits lineup. The Big Mac, Filet-O-Fish, 10-piece chicken McNuggets, and the classic chicken sandwich. Choose any two favorites for just $5. There you have it. The 2 for $5 mix and match deal at McDonald's has officially dropped. Participate in McDonald's. Limited time offer, single item at regular price.
Back to school economics from Staples. Today's lesson, get more, spend less. Staples has the top brands for back to school at low prices. So you get everything on your list without spending everything in your wallet. Economics made simple. And now, Staples One subject notebooks are just 25 cents, and two pocket paper folders are only 15 cents. Get an A in back to school today at your local Staples, the back to school specialty store.
While supplies last, offer ends 8/25/18. In-store only. Limit 5 on folders, 30 on notebooks.
Capital One presents Congress finalizing the Louisiana purchase.
Napoleon will never go for our offer. It's too low.
He's too low.
You're a nincompoop.
Oh, Jefferson has something.
Gentlemen, I've just received word from my Capital One app. The Louisiana purchase is complete.
Instant purchase notifications from Capital One, so you won't miss a purchase. Technology this helpful could make history.
What's in your wallet?
Not available for debit cards. Capital One Bank USA N.A.
State Farm, Kathy here.
Hey, it's Mike. My team just pulled off the biggest upset in the history of forever.
Nice, Mike.
Yeah, and some fans are getting crazy. They even flipped over a car.
Whoa.
Turns out it's my car, though.
Oh.
But I don't want to be upset right now. I want to know State Farm's going to take care of this, right?
We got you covered, Mike. Enjoy yourself.
Yes! Woo! Thank you! Woo!
Go with the one that's here to help life go right. State Farm. Talk to an agent today.
Things are about to change around here.
Catch up on the Philly sports you missed the night before. And what's coming up later in the day? The Fanatic at 5 with Eitan Shander and Jamie Lynch. This is new. Weekday mornings at 5. Live on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back into The Fanatic at 5. Eitan Shander and Trey Thomas coming up at the top of the hour. Recapping all the weekend's events and ongoing, and if you're just joining, the Phillies, they were really tough to watch again last night. They had a chance because of the Colorado Rockies, to take back first place last night as the Rockies handled the Braves and had a four-game sweep against them, but the Phillies couldn't handle business. I think the highlight of the night was Rhys Hoskins sitting with Little League World Series phenom Big Al. And Sam, can you cue that up? Because it was the best thing to come out of last night. And if you don't know who Big Al is, Big Al was the kid that kind of went viral last week after his intro at the Little League World Series came up. And he walked up to the TV camera and he goes, "I'm Big Al and I like to hit dingers." Ow. And this was Rhys Hoskins with Big Al before the game last night.
We're at Lamini Stadium, and look who I ran into.
I'm Big Al.
Big Al. And one thing that we really both love to do
is hit dingers.
Is hit dingers.
See, now, literally, I'm not exaggerating. That was the best thing to come of the game last night. If you don't like that, you're a sociopath, and I think Eitan's a sociopath, so... Just know that we work with a sociopath. But that was honestly the best part of the game. The Phillies just struggled. You know, Carlos Santana hit a meaningless home run. And the Phillies bats just continue to just be dreck a lot of times. And the Phillies over the weekend took over the major league lead in something. And that would be errors on the season. Their defense at times has been just almost unwatchable. It's kind of comical, honestly. If you didn't have such good bullpen help and starting pitching, you know, they're probably 10 games below 500, but they're the opposite of that, and they're still in a pennant race, and they're going to be in it till the end because of the pitching in the bullpen. But their batting average as a team is 28th in the league. Their on-base percentage is 18th in the league. Their runs scored, they're 20th in the league. Home runs, they're 15th in the league. And slugging percentage, they're 23rd in the league. Thanks to Ruin Today sending in those stats. It's kind of amazing that they're even in a pennant race with offensive production like that. But yet, here they are. But they totally squandered a great opportunity to take back the division lead last night. The Colorado Rockies couldn't have done more. And the Phillies couldn't have done less, really. Winning 2 of 5 against the Mets is just inexcusable. And Jacob DeGrom Saturday night. Look, that one you chalk up to, you know, Gabe, Mr. Positivity sometimes says, sometimes you got to tip your cap to the opponent. They just played better. Jacob DeGrom was insane on Saturday night. The guy was throwing 98 miles an hour in the ninth inning. You know, he had a changeup working. He had his four seam working, and the slider was working. It was just, he's probably your Cy Young Award winner this year. You know, I had a conversation with Tyler Zuli, one of the producers here over the weekend, and Scherzer's his dude, his number one pitcher. And I said,
agree or disagree with my Cy Young rankings, and I went Scherzer, DeGrom, Nola, and he said, honestly, I might give it to DeGrom over Scherzer. So when he said that, I was kind of like, whoa. But then you look at the numbers and, you know, what he's meant to the team. Win-loss record is the worst stat to look at for a pitcher, but DeGrom very well might be deserving of that Cy Young again. And if Scherzer is to get it, that's three in a row for him, and I think four overall. And I think that all but locks up his Hall of Fame, campaign there. Three in a row is just insane. So if Scherzer is able to pull that off, that's really something that we were able to witness, both on probably non-playoff teams. I don't think there's any chance the Nats have to make it, and the Mets clearly don't have a chance to make it. So that's why the Phillies really blew an opportunity last night, because the Mets suck. If you're just joining the show, big news over the weekend as Carson Wentz was cleared for 11-on-11 practices down at NovaCare this week as they enter week three of the preseason. This is the last real challenge, I guess, for the starters, as next week will just be, you know, fringe guys and bubble guys. But this is the last week, so this is probably the step before getting Carson cleared to return to contact, which would probably happen that fourth week or heading into the regular season. He's certainly not going to play in the preseason. So that leads to the question, you know, is him being out there week one without having played yet, you know, the best thing in the world? And probably not, no, because everybody, you know, even Tom Brady still plays preseason at this time. You need a chance to get back to the game speed, to get the rust off, just to see things again in live action. So it's very possible. Still undetermined, you know, who's going to start week one, but it's going to be this week should determine a lot of that. And, you know, it is possible Nick Foles starts, but we'll see what happens with Carson down there at camp this week. A lot of other injured guys, you know, the list is long. Alshon Jeffrey still hasn't practiced. Nelson Aguilar has a lower body injury. Michael Bennett's back is a little banged up. Timmy Jernigan's back is banged up. Darren Sproles and Jason Peters appear. Actually, why don't we just play Doug talking about those two? Here's Doug talking about Sproles and Peters in particular.
Overall, they're doing great. They're right on track, and both of them are healthy and doing a nice job. I don't necessarily need to see these two guys. You know, these two guys have played a ton of games. You know, you know, it's something. You know, Sproles has really never, since I've been here, hasn't really played in a preseason game at all, you know. And, you know, Jason's very limited, usually through camp, try to get him, you know, to the regular season and then obviously keep him healthy for 16 games. So I'm not in any hurry to see these two guys right away.
Yeah, a.k.a. they're Hall of Famers. They'll be fine. They'll be ready to go September 6th. The other story of last week's preseason game was Nate Sudfeld. And courtesy NBC Sports Philly, here's Doug P. on Nate Sudfeld.
He's really taken some big strides forward. You know, this has been great for him. This offseason, this training camp, he's got a ton of reps, obviously, with the offense. And he's got a lot of playing time, you know, with this offense, and especially this last week. And he's done some really good things.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens. You know, there hasn't been the quarterback injuries around the league this year, you know, that there have been in the past. A.J. McCarron, I think, is the only guy I can think of that's really had, you know, a quote-unquote season-ending injury, and he's getting a second opinion outside of the team to see what's up with his collarbone shoulder area. So we'll see, but still undetermined who will be the Eagles' starting quarterback. Quick NFL news. Adrian Peterson is scheduled to visit the Redskins today. So it's possible the running backs in the division that the Eagles could see every year is Saquon Barkley, Ezekiel Elliott, and Adrian Peterson. Now, he's not the Adrian Peterson of old, but he's still nonetheless a Hall of Fame running back with a big name. And that makes it, and I guess you throw a Jay Ajayi in there, and it's basically
Jay Ajayi,
the division of name recognition running backs with the four of them. But yes, big week ahead, entering week three of the preseason. And finally, we're getting close. Finally. Coming up next is Eitan Shander and Trey Thomas filling in for Anthony and Bob this week as they're off on vacation before football starts up again, getting some rest not setting alarm clocks in the morning. It's a beautiful thing. Thanks for hanging out with the Fanatic at 5. It's the morning show next. Jamie Lynch in with you. Closing out. Fanatic Sports Times, 5:55.